Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Rick here. We're going to jump right into some unsurprising news this week. Coinbase went down just as the Bitcoin price started pumping a little bit. Rick, I'll let you take this one first. I think you had a good meme on Coinbase. What are your thoughts? Is this contrived or just coincidental?
Well, who knows, right? Like, we could speculate all day about whether it's intentional or not intentional. But the main point I think everybody needs to take from this is, like, look, how many warning signs do you need to take your Bitcoin off the exchanges and into self-custody? You know, as if SBF and FTX, you know, and that whole debacle blowing up wasn't obvious enough, and Celsius and Voyager, you know, it could just be, but probably chances are this is just like a run-of-the-mill technical glitch, right? Like, you know, and it's just pure coincidence. There's a good chance that that's the case. But what really doesn't matter is that the point that it shows you is that you are not in control of your Bitcoin when those events take place, right? Like, if you want to log in, you want to make a payment, you want to move your Bitcoin, then you're out of luck. And here's the point, right? Like, one day, and then, you know, it comes back online and everyone goes, ah, okay, nothing to worry about. But what you need to understand is, like, one day it might go offline and never come back online. Like, you know, we've seen it happen so many times before. So for me, just a really good warning sign that, man, if you're trusting Brian Armstrong with your Bitcoin, I think you're absolutely crazy. He's running around promoting shit coins everywhere and all these scams and pump and dumps. And, you know, does that look like a serious business run by professional people who are actually interested in Bitcoin succeeding? To me, it doesn't. So I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. And hopefully enough people go, right, I've had enough of this nonsense, and I'm gonna look after my Bitcoin myself.
Yeah, Tony, I'm sure you agree with the sentiment, but I suspect you're a little bit more conspiratorial about it.
Well, I don't trust Coinbase whatsoever. I think they're despicable and corrupt to the core. And I don't believe this technical glitch is coincidental in any way, shape, or form. Like, you have to be really naive at this point to believe this nonsense. I mean, first of all, it's not the first time it happens. And the other times that this connection issue took place was also when the fiat price was pumping. So, I mean, okay, you fool me once. All right, maybe you get away with it. But twice and three times, like, you must think I'm a real idiot, right? So if you still believe that this is, like, oh, just happened to take place, well, you're being a little foolish and naive, in my opinion. You cannot trust these places. You cannot trust not Coinbase, not anywhere else. Again, if you're not in full control of your money, you don't own it. And those people that are just, like, buying their money, their Bitcoin or whatever else it is, and leaving it on exchanges like Coinbase are literally asking to become financially massacred, in my opinion, anyhow. So don't wait until, like Rick said, one day just doesn't come back. Just like, you know, I woke up one day and my bank didn't come back, and you end up with a big fat zero. So you want to learn that lesson the painful way, then just ignore this podcast and all similar ones and just leave your money where it is, because you're too lazy to take responsibility for your own money, which is, you know, the ironic part is, like, it's your own money. So that's what I have to say on this. I don't trust Coinbase. I don't trust any of these third-party custodians. They are all liars and corrupt. Or corruptible, you know, given the right circumstances. So take your money out, hold it yourself, end of story.
Hey there, just a really quick break from Bitcoin Banter, and we'll be right back. Wanted to remind you that we, the Bitcoin Way, are the leaders in achieving self-sovereignty, whether it's self-custodying your Bitcoin properly and securely, protecting your online life and keeping it private, or even coming up with a plan B option in the event you would need to move yourself or your family elsewhere. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a few minutes to learn more from a member of our team. We hope to see you soon.
Agreed. And speaking of exchanges, if you're still on Coinbase, find an exchange that does something like this, or is at least making an effort. So River now offers proof of reserves, so you can go in and verify the assets that they have. One of the tricky things about this is, you know, you have to trust that the liabilities and the assets match. But I think it's a big step in the right direction, at least in my mind. Tony, what do you think of proof of reserves?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said earlier, I don't trust, you know, leaving funds on any exchange. But when an exchange goes out of its way to, you know, build trust by showing, you know, proof of reserves, telling the world, look, this is what we have. You can verify it yourself. You know, you can tell we're not lying. Everything's in place the way it should be. Well, you know, like, I mean, it's not like I would trust them fully right now, but I would definitely pick them and would, you know, choose to work with them over somebody else, at least in the interim, into getting my funds into full self-custody. So if it's between River or Coinbase, this is a no-brainer, 100% River. And I know they're a professional team at River because, you know, I've dealt with that. We deal with them and we've dealt with them in the past. They're very efficient, very professional. So far, there's no red flags with any of them. They've been very honest and transparent. And the fact that they voluntarily did this, just increases the conviction that you can trust them more than others. So, nothing bad to report. And as far as the liabilities, yeah, maybe, but no business is going to be a complete open book with everything that it does. I mean, that's why it's a private business. So, but already this is, you know, far, far ahead than most other institutions similar to River, what they've done.
Yeah. Rick?
Yeah, I mean, you got to respect it, right? No one is forcing these exchanges to necessarily make this decision, and they've done that voluntarily, right? I'm sure if they'd have carried on not offering proof of reserves for another 6 or 12 months, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have said much about that because none of the other exchanges are doing it, right? So I respect it a lot. And, you know, one thing I would say about River as well is, and I've got no incentive to pump River or anything, but, you know, I see their content. I see that, you know, they actively encourage their customers to take self-custody. So, you know, they're not trying. I think if you spoke to them, they would say, yeah, we would prefer our customers to take their Bitcoin off the exchange. And, you know, at the end of the day, exchanges are going to exist. There are always going to be on ramps and off ramps between the current messy financial system that we're in with fiat and into Bitcoin. So, you know, companies are going to rush to fill that gap and fill that opportunity. The question is, how are they going to go about conducting themselves, and how are they going to go about, you know, serving their customers? And yeah, I mean, proof of reserves is excellent. I mean, it kind of goes back to the core concept of what Bitcoin is all about. It's a completely transparent ledger, which means doing things like this is really quite straightforward. And you compare that to the legacy financial system where, I think we tweeted about this just last week, was, you know, what reserves do banks have to show to anybody? Well, basically, like the limit set on them is 0% now that they have to have in reserves against what they lend out. So, you know, completely different model, and good on River for taking a step towards something that is actually quite logical, isn't it? Like proving that you have the money that you say you have. So, yeah, so far so good. And the bottom line is, you know, as Tony says, though, you know, the whole point here of Bitcoin is that you're meant to be the bank, you're meant to look after your money. And I'm sure the guys at River would back that up. And, you know, given we just spoke about Coinbase, why don't we talk about some of the differences here as well? You know, like River are not running like a shitcoin casino like Coinbase do, you know, promoting, I mean, crazy coins with pictures of frogs and dogs and God knows what on it, right? So they strike me as a more serious business, one that actually cares a little bit more about their customers. So yeah, kudos to them.
Absolutely. Alrighty, we've got $1 billion in Bitcoin shorts to be liquidated at 66,600. I'm seeing 65.6. And conversely, $1 billion of Bitcoin longs liquidated at 63.6. And this, when Joe shared this, the price was at just under 65. So we are dancing right in the middle of that. A lot of people are going to be liquidated very, very soon. Rick, let's pass it back to you. What do you think about the shorting Bitcoin trading?
Well, Van, I think using leverage to long Bitcoin or short Bitcoin is a bad idea. So, you know, in the long term, am I bullish on Bitcoin? Yes. And do I think that within 5 years or 10 years, the price will be significantly higher than it is today? Also, yes. But having been a Bitcoiner for 10 years, like, what I do know is that, you know, gambling on which direction it's going to go next is likely to end in tears, regardless of whether you bet on the price going up or the price going down. Because, you know, I've lived through 85% drawdowns on the price of Bitcoin, right? And who knows? Nobody knows exactly when that might happen. Now, I know the market is generally quite bullish at the moment, and, you know, for good reason. The US government is printing money like it's going out of fashion, and, you know, all of the macro sort of economics that surrounds this suggests that Bitcoin should actually maybe be valued a little higher than it is. But so here's how I take a bet on it. It's okay. So if it makes the better money, then I will just simply skip and save it. As best I can. Start using leverage. Right. There's a chance that $1 billion worth of $1 billion worth of shares to get rid of it. Because, so traders can lose in both directions. But if you just sit and hold the asset and hold through the dips and have a long time horizon, life gets really easy. So, I mean, you know, all these people going leverage long now, I'm like, yo, where were you like last week? Right? So we've decided to go long now after we've like run up a few thousand dollars and then a few, like you're just asking for trouble. And the market makers are going to take money all the time, every year, every cycle. People who leverage trade get wrecked. Maybe 1 or 2% make life-changing money, but believe me, out of every 100 people, there'll be one or less that actually does well at this sort of game.
Yeah, Tony?
Yeah, man, completely agree. I mean, first of all, for me, anyone who trades Bitcoin doesn't understand it and doesn't understand money and is still, you know, treating Bitcoin like some sort of TradFi asset, which was very foolish to begin with. But again, human nature is what it is. You'll always have the gamblers doing, you know, what they think they know best is making a quick buck. And so they until these clowns get completely wiped out, which they will, because a lot of them, you know, they borrow to leverage, and then the market teaches them a lesson over and over, and they come back thinking, okay, well, I've learned a few tricks now that'll give me an edge over my last attempt, and they get wrecked again, and eventually they run out of money. So unfortunately, this is just human nature doing what it does, and so it'll keep happening until they run out of funds, and then hopefully, you know, things stabilize. But if you're trading Bitcoin, you understand absolutely nothing, one, about Bitcoin, two, about money, and there's a 99% chance, in my opinion, you end up with way less than what you started with. So do yourself a favor, don't do it, you know, save yourself the pain and the headache.
Good advice. Yeah, I have a feeling that there are a lot of new entrants into the market over the last couple of years who haven't experienced this sort of pain, and they're the same people who have their coins on Coinbase, right? Like, I mean, unfortunately, there's just a learning curve a lot of people have to follow. I'm hopeful that with this sort of podcast and the education that we try putting out, as well as others, that more and more people, or fewer and fewer people each cycle, rather, have to learn that the hard way. Last one, just for kicks. This is wild. So I thought when we were talking in the US about Haitian immigrants eating people's pets in Ohio, I thought, you know, this, like, that was as wild as the year was going to get. Now P. Diddy is stuck in a Brooklyn prison dorm with Sam Bankman-Fried. Tony, give me your reaction.
Man, this is hilarious. I'm not, I don't know if this is like some sort of joke by whoever made that decision. Like, what's the end game here? Like, for SBF to come out with a sore ass and P. Diddy like a bankrupt account? Like, you know, one of them is in for sex crimes, the other one's financial crimes. So the other one's gonna leave, you know, with a red ass, and the other guy is going to leave with a balance of zero. I mean, what's the story here? So I don't know. It's just funny.
Rick, what do you think?
Oh man, I love it. I love it. This is a genius move, right? This is like 4D chess. Think about it, right? We've seen way too many rug pulls in Bitcoin and crypto over the years with all these exchange owners running off with everyone's money. So what an amazing disincentive to create, which is, look, if you stitch everybody up like this and you run an exchange, we're going to put you in a jail cell with P. Diddy and a few gallons of lubricant, and you'll learn your lesson, right? Maybe you'll get a few red candles where you don't want them. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I love it. What a great disincentive. That's my new thing. Every time an exchange blows up, get the CEO. You're doing 5 years with Diddy time, and we'll give you the full Bieber experience, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we got to end it there, guys. So good. All righty. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for putting up with these guys each week. I hope you enjoy it. If you're looking for proper Bitcoin self-custody help, privacy phones, online privacy and personal cybersecurity, or even a Plan B residency, check out thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to schedule 30 minutes to chat with you, and hope to see you all soon. Thanks for tuning in. Gentlemen, thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.